What's up, everybody? This is Miles Turner, the Indiana Pacers. You're listening to the Pace Rules Podcast. Be sure to follow at Pace Rules on Twitter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pace Rules Podcast, the only Australian NBA podcast with a bias toward the Indiana Pacers. Coming to you for an emergency episode off the back of Adrian Wojnarowski's Twitter storm this evening, American time, during the day, Australian time, that Coach Nate Bjorkgren may be on the outer with the Indiana Pacers due to some issues with communication, with relationships, with micromanagement. Everyone has had their say. You know, Scott Agnes, friend of the show, has tweeted about it. Jay Michaels tweeted about it. Obviously, Woj has an article on ESPN.com right now about Nate Bjorkgren's future with the franchise. Justin, I'll start with you. You said that you woke up this morning thinking about this as a possibility. You've willed it into existence. Apparently, we've got a few coaching issues again.
Yeah, I literally did. I was going to message you boys this morning saying, I've got a feeling Bjorkgren might get fired in the offseason. And then I was like, I'm being stupid. I won't message you to and bother you at this hour. but yeah, big watch bomb there. It's really big news. I think the most concerning thing for me, guys, is the comment about building relationships. Because remember when Kevin Pritchard hired him, he mentioned Bjorkgren was so good at building relationships with players, and that was his strong point. So to now come out and, you know, hear the reports that it's his biggest weakness, that's the biggest alarm bell to me. And, you know, we all know what Woj tweets out or reports is basically fact. This isn't just some, you know, Bleacher Report thing. It's come from Woj. So it means obviously someone in the Pacers organization, player or staff, has told him this. If it came from Shams, I probably would have thought it was Oladipo still. But yeah, interesting times.
I want to get to that in a minute, who actually we think potentially leaked the info to Woj. But Alex, I want to get your thoughts right off the top. Were you surprised by this news?
100%, man. This is the last thing I expected. To be fair, I never expect a Woj bomb about the Pacers because, you know, we talk a lot. Nothing gets out about the Pacers really ever. So firstly, the fact that this happened is incredibly surprising. But secondly, the timing of all of this is the weirdest part, right? Why is this coming out with 8 games to go in the regular season? And also, you have to think that it comes out a day after we gave up 154 to the Washington Wizards in regulation. So maybe that was the tipping point, if you will, for a certain player. But you have to think this is back-to-back years now. Firstly, Nate McMillan last year reportedly had an outing or, falling out with the players. And now Bjorkgren this year, you have to think that maybe it's something in the locker room, don't you?
You do. I'm really interested in who could have potentially leaked this. Now, I think we can rule out the front office immediately. We know that ownership, we know that the front office don't leak. They've got a storied history of not going to the media with this sort of stuff. So I think there's two potential points of contention here. One is the assistant coaches. Jay Michael tweeted that, you know, there may be assistant coaches leaving of their own free will or being asked to leave at the end of the season. They haven't gelled with Nate Bjorkgren. So, you know, there would be potential cause for those assistant coaches to leak to the media. The other are disgruntled players. I think, you know, we've spoken about players that have really thrived this season. Karras has had a really good month. Domas has obviously put up big numbers, but hasn't necessarily looked overly happy through the course of the year, which has manifested itself with his disputes with referees. TJ McConnell's been used really well. Doug McDermott's been used really well. Then you've got guys like Aaron Holiday that haven't got the minutes that they previously have under Nate McMillan, that haven't got the opportunity that they potentially had under Nate McMillan. Even though Aaron Holiday had to fight for it, he's really, Nate's been really proving a point with him lately of, bringing him off the bench quite late in the rotation. Justin, original thoughts from yourself when you heard this on where it could have came from?
Well, it's a tough one. That's a real tough one. Like, obviously, I'm across the other side of the world. I only base my things on what I see on TV and reports. And
all we can do.
Yeah, that's all we can do. That's right. And I don't know. I don't think any of the starters, the only starter I would say is maybe Brogdon, because he's taking that leadership role. You know, he says he speaks hourly and, you know, he's come in on off days to speak with Bjorkgren, and maybe that relationship is fizzled, possibly. I don't think Miles or Yeah, Domas or Karis LeVert. Obviously, TJ Warren's not going to have an issue with anything. He's been injured the whole year. So I think the Holiday brothers, there's something there. Like you mentioned, the minutes for Aaron Holiday gone down. Even Justin's played terribly lately, absolutely terribly. Is he, you know, is that, you know, cause him some fraction? You know, can he not play his best now? I know he's shooting awful, but yeah, I'd say definitely the Holiday brothers if you had to, you know, make me guess. But yeah, it's a bad time to be an Indiana Pacer fan. And, you know, Pritchard mentioned the other day in the interview, he wants to go back to winning ugly. And I actually agree. Like, this, we've always had to be more fast-paced and put up more points, but it's at the point where Pacers are absolutely terrible. Like, what was that thing Tony East tweeted out? We're giving up like 430 points in our last three or four games. Like, just ridiculous. Or three or four losses. Just ridiculous. Like, the Pacers need to change. I hate to say it, but if Nate Bjorkman's moved on at the end of the year, I will respect it because this season's been the worst season I've witnessed in 21 years.
Wow. That's a massive call. And look, I would struggle to put this season up against the Jim O'Brien years. Those were really, really tough. And it just didn't seem like we had anyone except for Danny Granger. At least this team has more than one good player on the roster. And, you know, we're not being carried by Mike Dunleavy and Troy Murphy on a nightly basis. But, TJ Ford was on those teams too, wasn't he, Justin?
He was. But you know what? That team fought. Like, even if they lost 80 to 92, that team fought. Granger, you know, did his best. This team's just giving up 140. Westbrook's putting up 20-20-20 on us, basically. Like, it's the worst season I've ever seen. And I think if you're a long-time Pacer fan, you know the way the Pacers need to win. It's hard-nosed defense. You know, it's 100 to a 92 win. This 150 to 138 stuff, yes, the league's moved towards that, but it's not Pacers basketball. We're not going to win a championship doing it.
Yeah, I want to talk about the defense in a second, but I think the last point I want to make on the leaks and the story that's developed, there was one aspect of the story that intrigued me in that it was saying that Nate Bjorkman was making a concerted effort to improve and to get better. That clearly comes from his representation or someone in his camp. I think that's clearly, obviously, Woj reaching out to two sides of the story and getting, I guess, a bit of a rebuttal from his agency or his representation, someone in his camp to say, look, he's doing the best that he can. He's trying to improve, trying to take on the feedback. He seems like the type of coach, and he has come back and said that it's him. He's put it on himself. He has taken responsibility for the way that this team has played. But to your point, Justin, giving up the second most points in franchise history against the Wizards, even though he scored 140, much of that was in garbage time when the game was already run and won. And Alex, it's really for a franchise that's prided itself on defense for decades, it's a really bitter pill to swallow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to watch at times, man. It's not like watching the Pacers, is it? It's like we're watching a different team. And I think it was Tony East that tweeted a graphic of the stats. And we have like the 25th ranked defense since April 1st. The only teams below us, all teams that are tanking. So they're trying to play badly. That's how bad we've been on that end of the floor. And, you know, if you watched the game yesterday, we were giving up open three after open three. Then we were giving up another layup, a dunk. It's just ridiculous. So, you know, it's not Pacers basketball. And obviously, Miles Turner being out, he's your defensive guy. That hurts. But there's no excuse for giving up 154, regardless of who's missing. And, you know, obviously, a lot of that's on Nate, but some of that's on players as well. We talk a lot about it. Defense is effort sometimes. And it just doesn't look like the players have any want or will to win right now.
Do you know how many points in the paint we gave up against Washington yesterday, Justin?
I don't know. Tell me. Enlighten me.
96 points in the paint.
That is disgusting, honestly.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, the first emotion I have when I see 96 points in the paint is utter disappointment. I'm embarrassed. About that.
It's not like we played Embiid or Jokic.
No.
It's the Wizards. Who have they got? Alex Len and Rui. Like,
I
reckon, like, this report's come out obviously today, like you mentioned, Adam, the Wizards game, someone's cracked it within the organization.
Yeah.
Whether it be Pritchard, whoever Buchanan a player, someone's cracked and gone, nah, this is embarrassing. And the leaks come out, because after the OKC game, it's not going to come out after that when we won by 60-odd. Yeah, it's someone's cracked it after yesterday. But yeah, like you mentioned, Alex, such a weird thing, 8 games after the season. You'd think this would just be, all right, we've got 8 games left, probably not going to make the playoffs. Let's go through it all then, whether we keep Bjorkren or not. But yeah, someone's obviously lost the plot and gone, nah, I'm going public with this.
Back in, I think it was the 08 or 09 draft, there was a video circulating of Chinese prospect Yi Jianlian being guarded by Chair. I'm pretty sure that Chair would have played better defense inside than the Pacers yesterday. At 96 points in the paint is disgusting. And you know, for all that we've said on this show, there's a guy that you heard 5-10 minutes ago, Miles Turner, to intro us in the show. And there's been a lot of interesting opinions on Miles' future in the franchise. But what you are seeing is a window into the future if Miles Turner is traded from the Indiana Pacers. There is a mindset defensively when Miles is on the floor where the opposition do not want to try and score in the paint because they know that their shot is at risk of being challenged, rejected, altered with Miles inside. And at the moment, we don't have anyone inside to do that. And I think we're also getting a window into what a Domas Sabonis at center team would look like as well. And, you know, defense is, I think, you know, it's part coaching and part effort. I would say that we're definitely seeing these reports be a reflection of the coaching of the team. And overall, the you know, relationships or lack thereof that Nate Bjorkgren has not managed to build this year, Alex, is also evident in the effort that this team's providing on the defensive end. It seems like everyone's happy to get their stats. Everyone's happy to, you know, pull down boards, to score points. Offensively, we're happy to score 130, 140 points a game. Great. But what good is that if you're giving up 150?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you hit the nail on the head. We talk about it. It's effort 90% of the time. We have a few above average defenders, but you know, you see guys like Damian Lillard the other day, he said, nah, screw this. I'm going to guard Tatum in the fourth quarter. And he held him to 7 points in the second half. Damian Lillard's not a lockdown defender. He's not, you know, known as an all-NBA defensive guy, but he took that challenge because he wanted to win. I don't really see anyone on the Pacers that's like that, that has that mentality. They're too, I don't even know how to put it. It's just like there isn't enough effort on that end, as you said. And just going back to Miles Turner quickly, we're in danger of losing the two biggest defensive assets in back-to-back postseasons.
Yeah.
You know, you lose Dan Burke last year. I knew that was going to hurt us. And then you might lose Miles Turner this summer. So it's going to be tough.
And, you know, I think when you, on the surface, as a basketball fan, see that a team's struggling on defense, then you automatically assume that they're tired from too much running on offense. Justin, I'm going to ask you again, how many fast break points did the Pacers score against the Wizards yesterday?
Oh, well, I'm assuming it's going to be pretty low. What we'll say, 28.
Four. Four fast break points. So you cannot, this is my point, you cannot say that the Pacers were running too hard on offense, running the fast break, and therefore couldn't get back on defense. You can't use that as an argument. You also can't say that they didn't have a big out there. They had an all-star big out there. They gave up 96 points in the paint, and they only had four fast break points. Effort, effort, effort. Alex, I think you've hit the nail on the head. You cannot say that this franchise is trying very hard right now. And that is an absolute reflection on the players, but ultimately the person responsible will be the coach, won't it?
Yep. And I think this goes back to, you remember the, you only have to look back about a month. Caris LeVert had that quote after another loss where he was talking about how no one was celebrating with their teammates, right? No one was celebrating for good plays. If there was a dunk, everyone was just like, yeah, all right, next play, right? I think it goes back to that. And there's been reports that since the trade deadline, the locker room just hasn't been the same. And that's what everyone seems to be saying who has inside information. So it's tough to watch. And it reminds me a lot of the 2017 season, I think. I remember Kevin Serafin talking about how once all the rumors about Paul George started circulating, that locker room was done. Yeah. Right. This reminds me a lot of that season.
Yeah. I mean, this is a far cry from about 2 or 3 years ago when Corey Joseph went careering into the front row of the press photography and four players ran over to him to try and pick him up. I mean, yeah, that is the Pacers team that we remember. That's the Pacers team that we love, that play for each other, that play hard on both ends, and that you want the opposition to look at them on your schedule and have their reaction be that famous clip of when LeBron sees Kawhi Leonard come back into the game. You want to see the opposition team be really at pains to play the Pacers. That's really hard to say. But you really want the opposition to care and to be disappointed that they have to play the Pacers. You want to be a difficult out, but not be, you know, the seventh, eighth seed. I think we've gone too far into the territory of the easy beats, Justin. I mean, it's quite stark how far this franchise has fallen in the space of a couple of months and some key injuries.
Yeah, I mean, the New York Knicks have a brighter future than the Pacers right now, which has got to hurt every Pacer fan worldwide. It's just tough. Alex, you mentioned like the locker room issues, and that's surprising to see. I felt like earlier in the season it was a lot to do with the Oladipo situation. That was kind of hurting the locker room with Willie resigned. Oh, should we just trade him? And then all the beef him and his sister with Miles had, all that stuff. So I thought once Oladipo was traded, all right, cool, clean slate. Let's get this season underway and build on the next few years. But that wasn't the issue at all, it looks like. They look like they don't even kind of get along. Some people are out there just trying to put up stats. I feel like a lot of them are just looking at the box score and happy. And I'm not going to single anyone out. Like Domas the other day, what, nearly got 30, 20, 10 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I feel like deep down he might be okay with that. Like, I dominated. It's like, well, no, we didn't win. We've had a terrible year. I feel like there's a lot of issues with this team right now. We've mentioned it for weeks and weeks. We actually called out Nate Bjorkman the other week saying, geez, he's had a tough year, hasn't he? So we were kind of weeks in front of it. But I definitely feel like now this team will not have the same starting lineup next year. You can nearly book it. You can't be Kevin Pritchard, right? Two seasons in a row, keep the starters and fire two coaches. Don't make sense, does it?
It doesn't. And, you know, Alex, we've spoken about who will get traded. I'm not going to run into that conversation again. We've covered it ad nauseum. But, I mean, do you see Nate Bjorkman as the coach of the Indiana Pacers next season? Mm-hmm. These reports.
Oh, good question.
Oh, man. I think that he will get another chance with a new roster next season. But I'll what about you, Justin?
Oh, geez. I'm the same as you. The J. Michael tweet kind of made me go, geez, they said it's not tenuous to continue. If a gun to my head, I'll say, one more season, because, geez, it would be harsh to fire him now. But I will respect the Indiana Pacers if they let him go for what's, for me personally, the worst season I've ever witnessed.
Yeah, I think he's gone. I personally don't think the franchise can continue amid these reports, amid the locker room dissension. I think we're going to see both. We're going to see turnover with the roster, and we're also going to see turnover on the bench with the coaches. I think it won't just be Nate Bjorkman. It will be potentially the majority of the coaches. It'll just be starting afresh next season.
Let me throw something to you real quick, Adam.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, we love him, but is this high is on Kevin Pritchard, right? He said it was.
Yeah.
So when does he take responsibility for this hire?
Yeah, I think it's really tough because I think Kevin Pritchard's done a great job with what he has, i.e. he can't spend a lot of money, and yet he's been able to assemble a pretty good roster with not a lot of money. He's been able to get Domas for an extension well below his market value and Miles for an extension well below his market value. The Brogdon signing hasn't worked out. It just hasn't so far. The Warren trade was brilliant. So in terms of roster management, you can't really fault the moves that he has made with what he has at all.
Yeah.
However, when you hire a coach and then the season goes this poorly, even with the injuries, when you, I guess, are left with a depleted roster, and yet you still don't have effort for guys that are, you know, auditioning for their futures. I think you have to take responsibility and accountability for that. Do I think it will cost Kevin Pritchard his job? No, I don't think it will. I think they'll be prepared to call a mulligan on the coaching staff and say, look, we got it wrong. We need a different voice in the locker room. We'll get a different coach. We'll make some slight moves to the starting lineup, and then we'll go again, and Kevin Pritchard can have a last chance. I think he's earned another chance with the moves that he's made, but I don't think Nate Bjorkgren has, and that's harsh, absolutely. But this is a wins league. This is a franchise that values winning, that wants to finish in the playoffs every season. They won't take this losing very, very well. You could have used injuries as an excuse, but how we've lost, I think, will end up being the thing that potentially causes there to be a change on the coach's bench. Do I think that's fair? No, I don't think it is, because of the tumultuous year that the team has had. Do I think it will happen? Yes, I think there'll be a fall guy.
Well, yeah, that's really well said, Adam. And Alex, I reckon you might agree with me on this one. I think the from Herb Simon's point of view, if they do let Nate Bjorkgren go, I honestly think, fans or no fans, this home record they've had standing for 30 years, I think that means a lot to them, being over 500 for 30-odd years or whatever. I think this season for them failing it, questions have been asked saying, hey, we've had a good home record for 30 years. Why is this year different? What do you reckon, Alex?
Yeah, I'm with you. The Pacers are one of those organizations, aren't they, that really try to hone in on those types of the goals, I guess you will, like making the playoffs. They want to make the playoffs every year, whether it's the 8th seed or the 4th seed, doesn't matter, right? And you're right, yeah, winning record at home is a big deal, even with COVID, even with limited fans. What are we like? I think we have one of the worst home records in the entire league. Like, I think we have a bottom 4 or 3 home records. So I think that's going to weigh on them heavy. And I just want to leave this out to you guys. Obviously, we're probably going to wrap it up soon, but what are some names you would like to see if Bjorken does get the chop, if you will, after this offseason? What are the names you want to see come up in Pacers coaching rumors?
I think we have to go with an ex-player with some respect. I think Chauncey Billups was a clear choice a year ago. We all wanted Chauncey Billups to be on this bench, and we wanted a guy that has the respect of both young and old players in the league to end up on our bench. I think we have to go down that route. I mean, you look at, obviously, 20 years ago, Larry Bird came to the bench and coached us to an Eastern Conference Finals and NBA Finals. So I think we've had success previously with ex-players, and we need to probably try that again. We need to get someone who understands the culture of building an NBA basketball team. And we need someone who can immediately command respect and put their imprint on this team and make sure that we're aware of exactly where we're going. Justin?
Yeah, well said. Geez, it feels like we were just talking about this like 6 weeks ago, didn't it, when we had the coaches and everything like that. It feels like we're back at it now. But, look, I'm not too sure. Like, can you go with someone unproven who hasn't been a coach before? Because it just backfired on us now, didn't it,
True.
At this stage? So, I'd nearly be looking for someone more experienced. I'm just going to throw out there, I know it's not going to happen, but it was the last time I was kind of happy being a Pacer fan, and that was Frank Vogel. So maybe he's won his championship and he wants to do a LeBron and come home to Indiana. I did that in quotation marks for anyone listening on Spotify, and bring an Indiana a championship, because I'd love that.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention one more candidate that might come home to Indiana in the minds of Indiana fans. I think this is gaining traction. It's going to gain a lot of traction over the next couple of months. He turned down, I think, 7 years at Indiana University, and that's Brad Stevens. It's going to be the jungle drums are going to be beating for Brad Stevens to return in an NBA capacity to Indiana. But Brad said that he's really committed to the Celtics team. The Celtics may want to make a coaching change with how badly they've played this season. Alex, short answer, would you like Brad Stevens to be the Indiana Pacers coach one day?
Absolutely, yes. We're playing chess here, not checkers, mate. That was the plan all along. Get him to turn down the IU deal and then come coach the Pacers and win us the championship. So, yes.
Justin?
Oh, for sure. You do anything to get Brad Stevens a Pacers head coach. You throw the kitchen sink. But... if that means we have to deal with Danny Ainge at all, it's not happening.
What if we had to also sign Cody Zeller, Justin?
Yeah, well, I'm sure that might happen next year. That'll be our big free agent signing next year at this point. But
don't do it.
Let's all just rejoice. We're three fans. Let's hope some good news being a Pacer fan. How, like, we've started this podcast and had nonstop pain. I don't think we've been happy one episode.
That's true. It was very, very early on in our career that Brogdon was, like, playing at an all-star level, and Domas and Brogdon's pick and rolls were unstoppable. And then it all just fell apart slowly. And then TJ Warren popped up and scored 53, and then it just all fell apart again. So... Yeah. We've got to get a light at the end of the tunnel soon. We might have some big, big Pacers news for you guys coming up very soon. It's been a pleasure to be with you again for this emergency podcast, and we will come to you again with some big news on the Pacers. Thanks for listening.